the overwhelming stereotype of the disabled person is like the meek, feeble, tiny Tim. And you know, historically, not even just in perception, but literally, disabled people were, you know, de-sexed against their will. And so it's really interesting being in that cross-section of being a gay man and a disabled person. And I think it's really important to show more well-rounded, complex depictions of disabled people on screen.
As a gay man myself, I have gone through that idea of if there was anything else that I could do to not be gay, I would do it.
Totally.
Is that something that I think Ollie was playing with in this film or toying with?
Well, when I
Dan did write it, actually, so a lot of that coming from totally. That was your impetus behind
totally.
It, right?
And when I became, because I acquired my disability at age 11, and so I went into puberty, and at that time I was also realising I was gay. So, and I remember during that time, 13, 14, which is a hard time for anyone, being gay and disabled, I really, those were the two things I really didn't want to be, and I remember I would go to bed each night. I had these two secrets that I thought I was going to take to my grave. One was that I liked boys, and two was that I wore diapers, that I'm incontinent from my disability. And I used to go to bed each night and dream of waking up the next morning and not being the case of being someone different, of being someone who is less other, who is less different. And so that was so much the impetus. And I remember as well, because I had such a disconnect from my body, because initially as well, when I acquired my disability, I was temporarily quadriplegic, so paralyzed completely from the neck down. And so my body really didn't feel like my own. And going back to school in a wheelchair with an aide, and it no longer felt like my body represented who I was. And so I really felt like the arbitrary nature of bodies, and like how much does my body really shape who I am, not only from my own self-perception, but from the way people respond to me. What's really interesting as well for me is being in these two minorities, as you know, being a gay man and being disabled, is I find, unfortunately, probably because of the overwhelming focus on sex within the gay male culture, that the only discrimination I've really experienced as a disabled person has been within the gay male community, whereas you won't find a more accepting, compassionate, open community than the disabled community. And so I do find that intersection really interesting, and I kind of hope that the gay male community can open up more and open their minds more. And
just more normalised rather than it sitting back and not having that. That's hopefully what brings the education and the change about.
Absolutely.
You know? People, you know, you're just not used to seeing it as much, you know, and that's why Pulse was so important, to make sure that it was you that was playing it, you know, or we had a disabled character as well as a gay character.
Totally. Because you just don't see depictions of, especially young disabled people. So it's very easy to feel alone in that. And and especially in like gay male spaces like bars or clubs, which are such safe spaces for the LGBT community. Like around the world, I can count on like my one functioning hand how many other disabled people I've seen in those spaces. And so it's kind of... I really hope that those spaces become much more inclusive and not just for, you know, mask white gay men who are able to, you know, like, and more inclusive to all the colours of the queer rainbow, you know. Mm.
And what was this film like for you, Stevie? Did this open up some of your ideas or perceptions about modern gay men or disabled people?
Well, Dan and I had known each other for years before it as well. You know, we lived together for 3 years and we'd been working together. I think now it's about 10 years or 11 years. There's a lot of gratefulness that you have as well, because living together, you know, there are just things that we just they don't even cross our mind in terms of things that Dan has to go through, in terms of, you know, what I have to go through. And so living together like that was already a huge eye-opener. But then in terms of the film, it was never really for me looking about it as a big community. It was wanting to make sure that his story was told authentically and truthfully. It wasn't, I never went into it going, I want to make this film for all LGBT or the disabled community. It was, I want to make sure that we tell this story as authentically truthful as we can. And so that was really, we saw that in the process and the way we worked with all of our actors as well. It was, you know, a lot of heavy rehearsal time to make sure that what you saw on screen was a lot of truth that had really gone on through Dan's life as well. So, yeah, that was really important, to just making sure we were reflecting that journey.
There are some quite visceral moments on screen in terms of the emotion that I think is evoked from all of the actors. There's a number of scenes which jump out to me just in terms of Ollie's interaction with her mother's boyfriend, even just your interaction, Daniel, with your best guy friend. And you can tell, like, if you are a gay man or if you've ever had an unrequited love ever, you can see those slight nuances of having a crush on somebody who you're never going to be able to have. What was that like for you to work with Stevie? Was it already there, or was that something that you wanted to really plant the seeds for?
Yeah, that's the, you know, the fun part for me really is the process that we work with is coming up with a lot of different directions. So we had the script, but by the end of it, it was really more of almost a bare bones skeleton. We would talk about the scene, what we thought needed to happen in it. But a lot of the dialogue was left out. You know, a lot of that was improvised with our characters, you know, with our actors. But yeah, it was really more about, I wanted to play with that. I think that there's something beautiful in creating dramatic tension. And so that meant that I was giving really quite different directions to, say, Scott Lee, to then Daniel Monks, to Sean, just to really trying to pull out those different flavours and kind of colours. And then that's why the edit was just so long, because we just did so many takes, you know, and we played so much with it. And then we were in the edit for over 18 months. Yeah, but I mean, Dan did a good year because he also edited, so he had to look at himself like that all the time. But it was amazing, you know. And but there's a lot of footage.
We can make like 20 different versions and very of the
different
film,
films of
which was really exciting. I mean, like, in terms of acting on set, like, that was like the most thrilling thing, because you go on a take, and even me having written it, playing a character based on me, I had no idea what was about to happen. And so, like, there are so many of those magic moments that you really crave where, like, you're genuinely surprised on camera. Like, you're not having to act anything. No. Like, you're...
And that can't be planned almost in a way, which is really... that was really cool about that journey as well, because I think for us, what was coming up, the way we'd been working together a lot, is you sometimes think, you know, to write it, you know the best way that it can unfold. And what we've kind of discovered a little bit more in our working process is you go there with what you think is the most exciting, but come in with some other sort of flavors, and then you get into the edit and you're just kind of, you can be shocked and go, wow, it's gone into a really different journey than I expected it to, which is a very different way to make a film, but that's worked for us this time. We loved it.
Was the end product something quite different to the initial script that you had in mind?
Oh, totally. I mean, like, the whole process, like, we like, the writing process was like 5-6 years, and there was like every incarnation of this story that it could have gone down was explored. And then on shoot as well, we did so many different directions to play with stuff. And the same with the edit. So, I mean, the way that we always kind of viewed it with is that is treating the story, like, allowing it to evolve and allowing it to grow, and like treating it not as a static thing, not locking it down. Because Stevie recently looked back at the original shooting script, and like scenes that I thought surely were like dialogue that was scripted came out of just in the moment ad-libbing or improvising. And so, yeah, it's kind of cool. But even though like the details might have evolved or changed, the very much the emotional through line, and we had like a strong skeleton to hold on to, so we had the freedom to really dive off and play, but we had the kind of safety net that we weren't just free falling.
And what's the takeaway that you want people to get from this film?
For me personally, I know what it's like to really struggle with yourself and your body and your sense of self, and to feel like the things that make you different actually make you lesser than others. And the biggest takeaway is just, I hope that it allows people, whether disability or not, just anyone, to accept and embrace and love what makes them different, because that is actually what has real value in this world. And and as well, I mean, it's the old amazing RuPaul quote of like, if you don't love yourself, how the hell are you gonna love anybody else? And like, that's really what the film is about as well. Like, you know, my character operates trying to get love, but very much from a place of self-hating and lack of self-worth. So there's no amount of, you know, affection or attention that he could receive that could ever fill that hole in himself until he does it himself. So
It's something quite interesting too. You do see the character go through from transitioning from male to female. And the one thing that really changes, obviously, besides the gender, is the ableness in body.
Totally.
And I think it explores an interesting concept, which is ever present, but a lot of people aren't aware of, in terms of the environment being disabling rather than the person being disabled. So whether or not it's the medical model.
Totally, versus the social model. Amen. Yeah. And that's the thing as well, is I know as a teenager, like, I wasn't introduced to a disabled community beyond a medical context. I I didn't really know any other disabled people. I felt very isolated in that. And when you are only operating in a medical context where you're constantly having checkups where they're appraising, are you good or you're bad? How good is this? How bad is this? You know, like, it's very easy to think that my impairments mean that I'm bad or there's something wrong with me or that type of thing. And it was only as an adult and really going to disabled arts and like meeting other disabled artists and finding my entry to the disabled community through that I, you know, was able to view my disability in a completely different way, in a more empowering way, mm-hmm. which I think is wonderful. And hopefully the film can help other disabled viewers to view their disability in a similar way.
It pushes the boundaries and opens ideas for people in terms of what is normal, what isn't normal, and just smashing that whole idea of normality.
And just the courage to be like, I can do this. You know, as soon as you see something on screen that you can remotely relate to, it's like that I could be a part of that, or I can do that, or you know, there's something that you see of that in yourself. And I mean, that's what's been fucking awesome as well, right? Yeah, with just having these screenings and the amount of disabled community, gay community that's coming to them and really opening up about what it means for them to see a disabled person on screen. Yeah. That even, it's just like, we're just leaps and bounds. I hope it just keeps going, you know? So it is not unusual to see that anymore.
Mm. And it's really beautiful as well because we were the centrepiece presentation at Melbourne Queer Film Festival early in the year, and now we're part of, with the opening film for Screenability at Sydney Film Festival. And so it's really beautiful that, you know, we had a predominantly queer audience and now we have a predominantly disabled audience. And to be able to share this with those communities has been, really special.